Welcome to Terra Crumbs, a Terra show by the community, for the community. I'm Imani with Poppy and Eli. Before we get started, Terra Crumbs is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on this show is advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals. We are joined by Donku today. It's been a kind of a crazy week already, and it's only Thursday. Donku, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for being here, right? Big fan, watch all your shows besides the one on Monday, right? We talked about this earlier. That's the only one I'm still need to watch. And that's why I love DeFi and crypto. It's always interesting. Something wild is happening, all the drama. I mean, this week probably more than usually, but pretty wild, and I love it. I hope you're also fine.
Yeah, I figured out this week that like if you don't follow Poppy, you're missing out a ton. So he just goes at people like randomly, like you won't see it coming. And then out of nowhere, he'll be like, fuck you and your friends and everyone, you know, by the way, I wrote code that ruins your life.
I think also you should change your name, Poppy. I think Crypto Knight is not enough. You should go into Crypto Ninja or Crypto Harakiri.
Okay. You know, thank you. I've actually contemplated changing Twitter handles. But like all of the ads and everything, like that's all just going to linger. And so somebody else could register the same name. So now it becomes complex. Now I got to, you know, get a second Twitter account so I can reserve Crypto 9944 and then come up with a new name. That's just too much work, man.
It is a lot of work.
I didn't ask for 4,000 followers. Like,
I mean, but you deserve them though. You deserve every single one.
Yeah,
all, you know, 2,000 of the bots and all the 2,000 real followers.
Hey, man, I paid a lot of money on Fiverr for those.
Yeah, followers. I mean, it's what? It's like at least $20 a follower or something like that. No.
Yeah, but you make it out with the one trade, Puppy, right? Easy for you. One arbitrage trade and you have them all in.
Something like that.
So, all right, so let's jump in. Donku, give us the quick background. How'd you get into all of this mess? And then we'll get into all of the news of the week.
Yeah, the quick story is I went 2020 into the DeFi route, right? My brother told me, hey, dude, there's something pretty interesting. You should look into this because, I mean, I had some Bitcoin in 2017, but I really didn't get it. It was just like a dude told me, hey, you can make money there. So I got a few. After 3 weeks, I sold them because the nerves, I didn't kind of really understand it. So no. And end of 2020, I started again. Then I did a lot of research. I'm a big podcast fan, right? Anthony Pompliano, Peter McCormack. So I'm still also a big Bitcoin fan because I think just the opportunities and the fairness and all the stuff behind Bitcoin is just amazing for me. And then I started to research kind of Bitcoin kind of in the real world. If I get tomorrow like one pancake and I don't know, in 3 days, three pancakes and all this kind of stuff, if I want to pay with my Bitcoin, it doesn't work. And then I found the Terra ecosystem, right? With stable coins and making it more mainstream use case with all the benefits of crypto and DeFi. And so I went into the Terra rabbit hole. And then Mirror Protocol version 2 launched. I did a flowchart on Twitter, right? I think people know my flowcharts by now. And then some dude asked me, cool, I don't really get it. Could you do a video and send it to me? And I said, well, I can try. Maybe I put it on YouTube because others are also interested. And that's how I started. It seems that a few people liked it. And I like it myself a lot, right? Because I'm just basically sharing what I'm learning myself. And so I kept with it. And now I decided to become a full-time content creator, right? In March, I truly decided to go for it. I'm still in my notice period until end of February, right? I'm still on 50% of my old company. And then from March on, I'm full crypto.
Wow. All in.
Well, when was that first video? How long ago was that?
June, I think.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That is insane. 6 months, 7 months and at 20,000 subscribers. Yeah, congrats on the success, and I love your channel. I learn a lot from watching it myself. It's kind of like my cheat code. So, I'm sure everyone who watches our channel is very familiar with it.
Actually, I watch your videos at the gym while I'm on the treadmill. I'm like, this is something that I can just pass the time by, and I'm like, I don't get this. I don't get this. I don't get this. So maybe we need like a junior Donku, where like who just like explains it in like fifth grade terms. You know what I mean?
Eli 5, right? That works. Maybe we can collaborate there.
Yeah. We'll have like a child explain it to me and then I'll kind of get it a little bit better.
That was kind of...
Eli, don't you have some children working for you who can...
I do. Unfortunately, they don't know a ton about crypto. And, you know, it's just... You know, they also can't really do any manual labor. They're not really built for it. So I'm moving more towards the office space and sweatshops. Those are the two, my two kind of main kid jobs for kids revenue streams. But besides that, yeah.
So, can you stake them and get some additional yield out of them?
Yeah, why aren't they on the farm? Why aren't you farming them? Like, what's going on here?
I could, but I don't really want to. I'm not really big into farming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, and thank you, right, for your kind words. I mean, for me, it was myself a complete crazy surprise, right? Those numbers, I still cannot believe them. And I mean, if I talk to somebody here in my environment, because Germany and crypto is a no-go, right? The people don't get it here. It's very, let's say, people think it's still a scam. And then if they ask me now, also my coworkers, you're leaving, right? Why? How? this was always your company in terms of you loved it here. You put so much work into that, what you did. And then I tell them, yeah, I'm doing educational content on YouTube now, you know? which kind of content? Yeah, cryptocurrency. And then usually the look in their face is still very funny. Because as I said, here nobody talks about this. And if you tell them about this, they say, okay, it's a scam.
Yeah, you know, Danko, it's not just Germany that's like that. I mean, I've had a similar experience, you know, talking to people about leaving my job. This was last year, though, and going full-time crypto. Like, nobody gets it. Nobody has any fucking clue. They're all like, oh, yeah, he'll be back, you know, 2 years later.
2 years later, you become a millionaire. It's like, oh.
I mean, you're back, but you bought the company, right?
You're back by the company. See, I had I just went through this myself, right? It's where I quit my job, and my final day is in 3 days or 2 days. And I got, like, a lot of people, mostly what I got was a little bit of surprise, and then a lot of people DMing me one-off messages like, hey, should I buy this? Should I buy that? Where should I be putting my money, right? Like, everyone wanted inside information. So look, we got to cover it. There's so much we have to cover this week. Where do we want to start? We should just start with Kujira. That's kind of the elephant in the room, given that that Poppy went completely savage on another protocol.
All right. Let's take a step back and maybe kind of cover this from the beginning for everyone here.
Okay.
So the reason or what triggered all of this little Kujira drama was Vlad, you know, one of the developers on Intern Capital, he created a simple React front end that had a single button in addition to the wallet connect button. And all it did was call the anchor liquidation contract and claim rewards. Okay, so that's how it all started.
So so I want to walk through this slowly because I don't even fully understand it. So he created a web app that connected to an anchor smart contract. Nothing to do with Kujira. Nothing to do with Kujira at this point.
Correct. We'll talk about Kujira in just a second. So cool. So he just created a simple smart contract. He didn't create a smart contract. He created a web interface that interacts with a smart contract. And it calls one function on that smart contract, and that is all it does. Which it was the anchor claim liquidation proceeds function that he was calling. So now if we go back to Kujira.
Let me just slow you down real quick. One more question.
Sure.
So what it means by claim liquidation proceeds, it basically means if you've liquidated something on Anchor, it doesn't automatically go into your wallet. You still need to go claim whatever you liquidated. Is that right? Am I understanding
correct,
that?
Correct. Correct. When you place a bid for a liquidation on Anchor, that liquidation goes through. And then when it goes through, your funds are sitting in the Anchor contract waiting to be claimed by you.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So now we circle over to Kujira. And I think most people know what Kujira is. We even talked about it on a previous episode. Kujira is basically a web interface for anchor liquidations. And what Kujira is, at least today, I know they're working on some smart contracts and some changes. At least today, what Kujira is basically an interface that interacts directly with Anchor's contracts. Kujira does not have any intermediate contracts. They are just an interface for Anchor contracts. So part of the Kujira business model requires that users using the Kujira interface pay a fee to claim their liquidation proceeds. And that fee is either 1% of the total amount or it's 0.5% if you pay the fee in Kujira token. Follow so far?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So the
actually, let me ask you one more question. So one, let's say it's the 1%. Forget the Kajira token version. So if you get a 3% discount and you want to claim it, you're going to pay 1/3 of your 3% discount to get it out.
Actually, no. So you're going to be paying 1% that goes to the anchor contract, and then you're going to be paying 1% that goes to Kajira.
So by the time you're done, you know, a 5% discount becomes a 3% discount, essentially.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So the problem here, or the issue with Kujira's business model, is the fee that they're charging is literally baked into the front-end web interface. There isn't any special contracts that you're interacting with when you use Kujira. You're interacting with Anchor directly. So Vlad's perspective on this is, well, why am I going to use Kujira's interface to claim my liquidation proceeds when I can just use this interface and not pay a 1% fee on it? And it makes a lot of sense. And my perspective on this is, it's not so much of an issue about the fee. It's how Kujira then responded to this. So before we get into that, any questions? Eli, are you following so far?
I am following. It would be cool, though, if you explained to me what a smart contract is real quick, though.
Okay.
Just like on a small scale.
Yeah. So a smart contract is a piece of code that exists on the blockchain and executes in the context of the blockchain.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. I know
what
you mean.
It's a piece of software that lives on the blockchain. Just think of it like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, this a smart contract is trustless. So the only person, when you interact with the smart contract, it's an interaction between you and the smart contract, and there's no intermediaries. Vlad created this interface that allows people to bypass the liquidation claim fee. And he posted it on Twitter. And the way Kujira responded, this is what really triggered me, is they started banning people from the Kujira web interface that used an external contract to interact with the, or sorry, that used an external interface to interact with the anchor contract. So this would include any user who used Vlad's interface, but this also included other users who are either building their own anchor liquidation interface or are using a different platform altogether. And there's a few examples of some projects that were in the works where developers of those projects were affected.
Let's just keep going. We're gonna go smooth brain on this. And I wanna bring Daku in, but I just wanna set this up and make sure that I even understand it. So meaning like, because I was wondering, how would they block someone from using Vlad's claim tool? So what you're saying is they somehow went and scraped every wallet that has ever interacted with the Anchor protocol on its own to claim a liquidation and then block them from using their front end?
I don't know exactly what they did, but it was some sort of, you know, query that they've run.
Something like
they,
that.
Where they determined that a user was probably using the Kujira interface, and then at some point they claimed a liquidation proceeds without paying a Kujira fee, and that triggered a block. Some sort of logic around that.
Okay.
So what it really meant, and like, it's not really a big deal for Vlad, not really a big deal for me, but Vlad was sharing this interface on Twitter, and you know, people are bound to use it. I mean, it makes sense, right? Why would you pay a 1% fee when you don't have to? So where I have an issue with the policy of Kujira blocking users is the end users who, you know, unwittingly just use this interface because they thought, hey, you know, this is just a different way to do it, you know, it's interacting with the Anchor smart contract, no big deal. Well, those users who don't have a means to otherwise either claim their liquidation proceeds or withdraw their funds, they were blocked from the Kujira interface. So these users essentially, at least for a short period of time, their funds from their perspective was stuck in the Anchor smart contract because they didn't know how to remove them. There was no way to do it because the Kujira interface was blocked. So
got it.
That's really where the motivation came from to build an alternative interface. And that's kind of where it became somewhat of a priority because, well, first of all, I took the very diplomatic approach of reaching out to Kujira and saying, hey guys, you know, what are you doing here? You know, you should really, you know, think about your policy of blocking users, blah, blah, blah. I was trying to be diplomatic. And then they just banned me from their Telegram. So I was like, okay, fuck you. And then that's when I got really motivated to say, you know, all right, we need an alternative interface and we need it now. Because I'm not going to use Kajira just as a matter of principle, even though I wasn't blocked. I think that whole fucking concept is stupid. The whole fact that their whole tokenomics model relies on collecting a 3 or 4 figure fee that's only enforced through the UI. It's just like, it's so badly thought out and badly designed that there are better ways. There are alternatives. There weren't any decent interfaces at the time last week. But now we've come a long way and we have, let me think here. 1, 2, 3. We have 4 different interfaces, assuming that Lighthouse launched their beta today. 4 different interfaces alternative to Kajira.
What's your, Danku, what's your take on this? This whole drama?
You know, I mean, independent now from Kajira itself, I understand Papi because I'm wired the same in terms of I'm here in crypto and DeFi, which often sounds like funny or a meme because there is more than just the gains, right? I think what we're building here and all the builders, that's why I feel so sorry for Kajira because they put work in. I think are building something which is fairer for the whole world, right? It's, as Papi said, permissionless. Everybody is treated the same, no matter which age, which color, whatever you could say, where they come from, which country. And more importantly for me, everybody, doesn't matter how big his wallet is, can interact with everything and have fun and enjoy it, right? The power of crypto and DeFi. That's why I'm usually a big fan of let everything open for everybody. And this will generate a lot of wealth and we will all benefit from this, right? So that's why I also in general don't understand how this works. And then on the other side, yes, there is this problem of you need to probably make money out of this because you still also need to live as a developer. But I'm also a big fan of competition is the best that can happen to the world, right? Because it pushes even more innovation and it asks everybody to work harder to come up with the best solutions so that people want to use it and basically create wealth on there. So just in general, right? That's why I'm just a big advocate myself. And I understand Papi in terms of let everybody just openly access it, right? And what I understand was Papi was triggering was then the way how it was communicated, right? And I understand it, right? But at the same time, I'm usually a big fan of everybody who builds, because without the builders, we would be all also like effed up. Because I think often the poor developers get all the hate. Dev do something, and at the same time we would have nothing at hand if those people would not sit down, right? So that's kind of why I myself try to be careful in that terms. I know it's a very, let's say, political answer, and I know that Papi, you are also very respectful with them, and you got triggered, as you said, because of how you got treated off, right?
So yeah, and that's fair. And I don't have any like explicit hate for Kajira. I mean, it was their actions that triggered, you know, what happened this week, the building of 4 different interfaces for Anchor liquidations. But it was really, you know, based on the beliefs and principles in DeFi that, you know, I personally believe like Anchor liquidations are like literally the lifeblood of our entire ecosystem. And the fact that people were getting blocked from accessing that, I mean, I don't think it posed an immediate issue for the ecosystem. But like, to me, I thought, well, that's really, you know, distasteful. And I think more people need to have access to this. Anyone who wants to access this should be able to access this.
I think, like, when I think about it, you know, I agree with you, Danku. Like they chose a business model, right? I don't blame them for whatever business model they chose. It's all of our choice whether we want to participate in it or not, right? Like, if I was just kind of shocked that to find out that what they build, I think that the more shocking thing out of all of this to me was that a Kajira was so basic that it could be forked in 4 days.
Can I
or not even you... forked or not even forked, rebuilt from scratch.
Can I give you some perspective there? So
yeah.
And this is from building a CLI interface to interact with Anchor liquidations. Everything on the Orca page, the liquidation queues, the, you know, all of the functions on the main page of Kajira, all the unpaid functions where you don't need to stake tokens, those basically are direct queries to Anchor contracts. There's no special data indexing done there. It is literally just interactions with Anchor's contracts. It's all free and open. They're doing nothing special there.
Well, also, now, oh, sorry.
Okay. I was just going to say they are doing a little bit more with their analytics dashboard where you can stake Kuji tokens and get access to that. I think they are doing some data indexing, but for the basic functionality of Kujira, they are not doing anything out of the ordinary, and they are using public and open smart contracts to provide and submit transactions.
The other thing that I was following the Twitter thread, and it also seemed like this product had been built on Ethereum, and they just kind of like brought it over, like it wasn't even their idea.
So I think there's a lot of misunderstanding here from the community because Kujira is just a UI for Anchor liquidations. The Anchor team was the one who designed the liquidation contracts. So like when everyone says, oh, Kujira is so cool, you know, this liquidation mechanism is revolutionary, it's actually Anchor who developed that. It's Anchor's liquidation mechanism that is revolutionary. Kujira is just the web interface for it.
Why did nobody earlier kind of create a web interface? Do you know that? Or why did nobody did this, right? If it's already, it was probably available for a long time, right? The contract or not?
I don't know the answer to that. I think the Anchor team was already working with Kujira at some point, and you know, they were taxed for resources. That's what I've read. I don't know if that's even valid. My understanding is they were taxed for resources and they just outsourced the interface design for the liquidation contracts. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I will say also though, Kujira was funded with a community grant. They were paid about $100,000 in ANC token to build their initial product, which was Harpoon, which then became Kujira. So like when you take everything that happened with them banning users and just the poor fee capture mechanism, to think that this was funded with a community grant and they aren't acting like in the best interest of the community, it really is kind of disappointing.
Well, so, but on the, if I'm like playing devil's advocate for a little bit, like what about Kujira? Like, why would they not stop people from like sidestepping their fee? You know, like what benefit do they have for letting that happen?
Well, they have no foot to stand on because they're basically a UI for Anchor's liquidation contracts. And so at the time when they banned people, Kujira had a monopoly over the UI for Anchor liquidation contracts. And that's why myself, Vlad, and a few others, we prioritized building an Anchor liquidation interface. And, you know, I released my CLI tool within a day. And, you know, what I did in the CLI tool is I basically created a library of all the smart contract functions that need to be called in order to have a functional liquidation interface. And then I built that into my CLI tool. I gave that to Vlad. Vlad was working with a few others to basically build Terra Toolbox, which was released, I believe, yesterday. And then there was another Anchor liquidation interface that was also released. I think it was on Monday. And then Lighthouse is another Anchor liquidation interface that was released, I believe, on Wednesday.
So the beta, right?
And one thing, beta, and one thing to be clear on, like when you say they had a monopoly on it, they were just the only ones who had a public product. They didn't, when you say monopoly, you start thinking anti-competitive. It's not like they did anything to keep anyone else from building a front end for liquidations or anything like that. They were the first to market with it, right?
Yes, but I would argue though they tried to assert their monopoly over the community when they started banning people from the UI for using a third party interface.
Yeah, I guess it probably depends on how you would define the word monopoly. When I think monopoly, you have like the power to keep competitors from popping up, and I think what you did in 4 days, what you and the team did in 4 days, showed that it wasn't really a monopoly. It was just the only product that existed. The question is this product like valuable? I think the question for Kujira is, all right, look, that was a PR mistake. They just motivated a bunch of people to become competitors when they didn't have to. Maybe the right move would have been to say, okay, maybe that fee is too high. Maybe I need to lower my fee, whatever it is. We needed more liquidation products anyway, like you said, Poppy, because we can't rely on just one. The real question is, it feels like they went to market with a product that wasn't really a product yet. Right. If it can be replicated in that short amount of time, you know, now they've got to go back to the drawing board and figure out like what can they do that's a competitive advantage or like some kind of competitive moat?
So they are working on this, but I will say their competition is very motivated now, including myself. So what they are working on, that is public information, they're building an interface where you can deposit AUST, and your assets are held in AUST, you know, prior to liquidations, you know, while you're waiting for liquidation bids to go through, basically. I believe that's going to be done with a smart contract. And so that solves most of the issues around Kujira just being a UI for Anchor liquidation contracts. Because if they had their own contract, they can kind of enforce some of this fee collection stuff. But my the issue I have with this new feature is they want people to stake 5,000 Kuji tokens to have this functionality. And I'll tell you, I'm quite motivated to build my own bot that does a very similar thing, just because I think 5,000 Kuji tokens is absolutely absurd for such functionality.
Interesting, because I mean, so let's say how you express stuff is excessive, right? Or which I enjoy from you, right? Also, I got the pleasure to know you in Portugal, and I know that you're, let's say, motivation is the right one, because what you are saying is the same thoughts I have in general, right? But also I don't have the instruments to pull it off, right? Because I can share with you guys, I guess I made it public on Twitter, right? Or for sure in the German Telegram group. I also don't understand why you need to stake such a big amount, because that is then difficult for small people that should hopefully benefit the most from liquidations, right? And get a premium. Why do you need to put down such a threshold, which is basically, as you said it, I think, Papi, a way to get some value to the token, right? Which then on the other side, I'm sometimes asking, why do we need a token? Because token is decentralization, but there can be also great interfaces like CoinHall or like ApeBoard, right? There are services, they don't have a token, they don't need a token, I think. But so I understand where you're coming from, Puppy, right? In terms of why.
Well, I mean, another thing to say is, you know, you're going to charge 1% on my liquidation proceeds, and you want me to pay $5,000 to use your service? It just becomes really excessive for something that you can do in alternative ways. The other thing I do want to add, because you mentioned CoinHall, you know, on the whole topic of fees baked into the UI, I actually think that's okay if your fee is less than, you know, $10. Because if it's a three or four figure fee and I can bypass it for free, fuck, I'm going to bypass it.
Which is the power of crypto and DeFi, right? In terms of there are open contracts, you use them if you can do it better. That's what it is, right? That's the beauty at the same time, while this drama itself, in terms of you had the opportunity and you did it and you open sourced it, which is in the end a benefit for everybody. I guess you could take the good thing out of it.
My goal with open sourcing that tool within a day was to really motivate other people who want to build on Terra so they can have some context of how to do, you know, interact with contracts and that kind of stuff. I'm not a React dev, and I know we have multiple open source React front ends now, which I think is way more user friendly. But one thing you can't do with a React front end is you can't build like automation and bots and stuff into it. And that's where I'm going to take my project in the coming weeks. Go ahead, Money.
Nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I don't really have much more on this topic. But if you guys have any questions, I'm happy to answer them, or we can maybe.
Yeah, we probably covered that enough. I mean, like, look, it all, you know, the future of Kujira will come down to them, right? Like, can they build something sustainable and build a competitive advantage, right? If you look across every EVM chain, you know, like, I think probably 80 or 90% of every decentralized exchange on an EVM chain is someone ripping off Uniswap. At this point, I think it's all Uniswap V2. And they were forced to kind of innovate and get better and come out with Uniswap V3, right? So yeah, I guess the ball's in Kujira's court if they can compete with all of these different competitors popping up now.
Yeah, and I guess like Kujira, I mean, I will offer my services on any sort of coding you need done. I'm your man. So just let me know and I'll back you up. I'll do all your coding.
Yeah, so Danku, this is a video you did, and I learned about this from you. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I believe, about all of the farming opportunity on Osmosis right now. And it's been insane. I bought a fair amount of Osmosis just so I could take part in these farming APYs. And then with this most recent, like, massive drawdown in across crypto, Osmosis and Cosmo Cosmos kind of came, or Adam kind of came off completely unscathed. And you get in, and when you start playing around with IBC and moving money around on Osmosis, Terra, and then you compare that to like trying to bridge to Harmony or something like that, it's just like a night and day different experience. So I'm really bullish on this ecosystem. And then Danko, you put together a really great explainer on how you very soon you're going to be able to get LP rewards on Osmosis and layer staking rewards on top of it. So I think that'd be cool for you to cover. And if we don't need to go all the way into the weeds, you should go check out Danko's video for that. But I just thought it'd be a really great topic.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a big Osmosis fan myself since now, I don't know, I think I did the first video in end of August or so, right? So I think it was live a few months, and there, I think Osmo was also at the bucket, right? So pretty cheap, and the APRs, even for staking back then, were 300%, so single-sided staking. So I think it was my, besides Luna for sure, my best investment by far. And which is funny about Osmosis, first of all, it's a DEX with an on-chain, which I think is beautiful. Think about if Uniswap would have its own kind of chain. You would not pay in ETH, but in Uni. That would be probably completely wild. That's why I think long-term, Osmo will pretty be good in terms of price movement on the one side. And then on the other side, you don't find Osmo on any kind of centralized exchange. They don't want to even be listed, right? They say, hey, we're a DEX. Why the heck should we go somewhere? They should all come to us, which protects them for kind of any speculation and really just uses it at what it should be for, to pair it, to enable deep liquidity. And on the other side, then to be the security asset for the chain because it's proof of stake, because it's a Cosmos SDK, right? So pretty good from that perspective. And you see it basically, the number just goes up with the TVL. For Osmo in terms of price. And one of the topics that you see very often in DeFi is that, for example, you stake something, like you do Terra staking right now with Staker, with Stater. And then what you do at Stater, for example, they have now this liquid staking derivative, which is Luna X, right? They tell you, hey, you can stake with us, you get all the benefits, and then we give you another token, or, you know, ST Luna from Lido is in the end the same. Now, the problem with this, usually what you like to do with tokens is you would like to, for example, provide liquidity out of this. And then if you provide liquidity, you get the benefit of swap fees, rewards, and so forth. The problem is if you do it with the liquid staking asset, you're basically just creating a new market to be able to swap that. So it's a pool that in the end, nobody really needs besides for this token itself. So it's not very effective. And I had the pleasure also to meet Sunny, the founder of Osmosis in Lisbon, right? He was there for the Solana conference as well. And he says, well, this is pretty inefficient, right? If we want to stake it and we have it in the pool, why don't we use the assets that we have in the liquidity pool to stake them on the other side, right? So instead of creating this liquid derivative, we go the other way around. We use the assets that are in the LP pool, and basically they just say, this ones, you can use them and use them as a typical staking asset in proof of stake to secure the chain, right? So let's make an example. There is the Luna Osmo pool right now on Osmosis. So you put down, I don't know, so one Osmo and one Luna in there. Yeah, the price doesn't fit. What would it be? Like 8 Osmo, 1 Luna, something like that. Well, today, not anymore, right? Not a good day, but let's not talk about this. What the contract then says is that right now you have in the LP pool 8 Osmo, so you can decide to just take those 8 Osmo and stake them. Of course, because the LP is rebalancing all the time because of price movement, it could be that tomorrow you only have like staked 4 Osmo or then 5 Osmo again. So the contract is all the time checking how many do you have right now. And the benefit is you can take part in governance, and you, of course, take the whole benefit of the staking rewards. The downside is on the other side. Of course, you also need to take the typical, if you stake, you have it 14 days bonded or block, whatever you would like to call it. So of course, this still appears. If you then decide to go with your LP into this kind of super fluid staking mode, it's still then bonded on Osmosis for 14 days. If you would do it on Terra, for Luna, it's 21 days. Because what they then say is, if the pool is Luna Osmo, you can take your Osmo to stake it with the Osmo chain, and you can take your Luna to stake it with the Terra chain, right? So it's amazing because it makes the whole process of liquidity providing way more efficient, and we don't have all those shadow pools just to enable liquidity for all those liquid staking derivatives.
Poppy, what do you think about that?
I mean, I really do appreciate Danku's overview of Osmo, because it's not a chain I've gotten into at all. I've done really poorly with any token that's connected to a DEX. It's just how it goes. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, right? The one thing about Osmo, I don't know why the decision wasn't made this way. It's almost like if sushi, the great thing about Osmo is it's the pair, right? Versus if you go to like sushi or Uniswap, Ethereum is the typical pair that you provide liquidity against.
Okay. And in that same design, I mean, you could compare it to maybe Loop Protocol, where they have a lot of pairs that are against Loop Token, and they also pay out rewards in Loop Token. And that hasn't gone very well. So, I mean,
example. What a comparison to make.
I mean, I think you have to get to like a certain threshold of liquidity before you could even like think about that kind of design. I don't know.
Yes, but also the big changer here is that it's an on-chain, so you need to pay also an Osmo the fee, right? So you literally have the typical layer one benefit of that you need to pay in the fees with that token, Luna, and maybe in the, I mean, yes, Terra blockchain is a little bit different, but I guess long-term it will also change back to just Luna. And just think about how much Osmo that people will need if they really need to pay for all the transaction fees. I think there is a lot of positive buy pressure just on Osmo because of that, because it's right now the only DEX truly on the Cosmos ecosystem. But if the Cosmos ecosystem keeps driving as it is, it is already one of the most important DEXs in the whole ecosystem in DeFi and blockchain as a whole, right?
Yeah, and I think like conceptually, whether you want to own Osmo or not, the idea that you can, you know, the efficiency where you can provide, liquidity, and then your portion of that LP that is for Osmo can also be used to secure Osmosis and get staking rewards as well. I haven't seen that before. Is anyone else doing that?
The superfluid staking itself?
Yeah, part where you can also, where you can stake the portion of your token that is tied up in liquidity. Imagine like, you know, I do a little bit of liquidity provisioning on Sushi, right? Like, imagine if I could provide, let's call it, you know, Wormhole UST and Ethereum on Sushi, and then also go take the portion of my Ethereum that is in that LP and get staking rewards on it as well. That's essentially what we're talking about here, right? You get to double dip returns. There's no opportunity cost.
So I think like this is very interesting, and I think it's a very unique concept. I would say the only thing that's like comparable is like wrapped tokens that are bearing yield. So like wrapped Ohm or wrapped Memo. We'll get into that later. You know, you could provide these as part of an LP pair, and then one side of the pair is generating revenue based on, you know, wherever its staking is occurring, basically.
But it's not only about the staking. The Osmo is just the chain itself, right? So, I mean, let's be honest, Terra, why Luna is driving is because of, in the end, the whole blockchain is the true important part of this, right? All the information is stored on the blockchain. That's for every layer one. And Osmo is this layer one itself. So people have a big interest in staking it also because they truly want the security of the chain, right? So this is something that you don't see with any DEX token. If you are interested in a DEX token, it's just because of governance, which we see now people underestimated with the Curve Wars and also what happens on Uniswap, right? So that's why I say, if you want to sell all your ANC, feel free. Let's talk in 2 years when kind of we ask ourselves why we sold it, because it's so important to hold it. But for Osmo, it's not only that interest in governance, it's truly securing the blockchain and the value of the blockchain itself because it's a DEX chain. That's, I think, why this design is just truly beautiful and unmatched for now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100% with the man from Germany.
Yeah, no, I think it's really cool as well. Like, the whole Cosmos ecosystem is fascinating to me right now. Although I outside of Secret, Terra, and Osmosis, I haven't been able to go really deep on some of these other ones that have popped up, like Juno. But I just have to say, like, the experience on Osmosis is kind of second to none compared to other tools I've used.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope that you claim all your airdrops, right? Because if you either provide liquidity, stake with Osmo, or stake with Atom on Cosmos, you get a ton of airdrops, which is completely wild. But other use cases or apps that are working, there are not so much right now. Right? It's like Terra a year ago, or 1.5 years ago, right? So it's everything is in build-up mode. You have now this kind of NFT marketplace with an on-chain. Think about it. Same use case, right? You probably need to pay again with the own token of the NFT marketplace. That will be big. It's Stargaze, right, where you had an amazing airdrop that is, I think, worth usually right now over $3,000, and it's holding through, right? Nobody wants to sell it because everybody sees the opportunity there. You can right now stake stars for 120% APR single-sided. You can go to the Osmo pool and get 200% APR against Osmo, and Osmo is just going up in price. So right now the whole ecosystem is really flourishing and going upwards, and it's just a different approach, and more people are talking about it, right? And now the connection to Torchain and to Terra, and the wormhole then to Solana and Avalanche, it seems that it's all coming together.
Very cool. I have to ask an important question, Danku, and I ask this question before I get into any new blockchain. Is there a sane way to report these transactions on your taxes? Or do I need to build a tool for myself?
Well, your competitor, State Tax, I don't know if you call it competitor or...
Oh, no, we're all friends here. We're not competitors. Yeah.
Okay. All we want to do is stay out of jail, right? Like, that's the number one ambition here.
He has four chains, right? He has, I think it's Solana, it's Luna, it's Osmo, and Cosmos that you can download at his place. So I'm fine.
Okay, all right. That's very cool. I'll have to check that out. I didn't realize he added support for Osmo.
Yeah. So that's why I'm very happy. Shout out to him, right? Besides being your competitor, we are all friends. But he saved my world because the ecosystem I'm most active on, or was last year, was besides Terra, Solana, and then, of course, Osmosis. So I'm fine.
So, Poppy, on that note, do you want to give us a little bit? I thought I saw a little video about what's been going on with was it Traktera?
Small update there. We are getting very close to launch. We're looking at February 4th as our go live date.
Wow, it's right around the corner.
Right around the corner, yeah.
Exciting stuff. And you're also talking to partners as well, right?
Yeah, so we've talked to Crypto Tax Calculator. What we're aiming for there is we're aiming for them to go live with an API integration, either at the time of launch or shortly after launch. So it'll be Traktera's first API integration, and then we're also going to work with them to help them spin up their own instance of Traktera. Because, I mean, ideally, that's what we want to support, is these crypto tax softwares integrating their own solution. We're going to also continue reaching out to Coinly. I know Coinly says they're working on their own stuff. I gave Coinly a copy of the Traktera source code back in, like, August. That was like completely different version. It's much more, it was in the early days back then. We're going to continue to work on getting more API integrations and making taxes for Terra a lot easier for the entire ecosystem.
So actually I have that's really good. I'm excited because it is tax season. I have a bit of alpha. A lot of people don't realize this, but Poppy is launching a token for Traktera, and the first 10,000 people who DM him will be put on the white list for token distribution. So send Poppy a DM, CryptoKnight944 on Twitter, and we'll make sure that you're fully taken care of. By the way,
I'd like to actually respond to that really quick. I've been having to deal with a lot of assholes this week, and my threshold for dealing with assholes is really low. So if you're an asshole and you DM me, you're just going to get blocked. Fair warning.
That was just a joke. Don't DM Poppy. There is no token. Eli, how is the popcorn, by the way?
Okay, so I didn't actually bring any salt up to my room. Also, I have an insane amount of popcorn with nowhere to put it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm doing keto, first too, all, so I can't.
Huh? But why salt, right? That's the first issue, right? It's sugar, right? Isn't it? I'm the only one. Am I the weirdo here?
Oh, what's you're that? The weirdo, man. I don't know sugar? What they're doing in Germany, but we don't put sugar on popcorn.
We do like sure, Canada. Popcorn. Sugar? It actually sounds really good, though.
It's so in Germany, it's sweet or salty, right? That's the two ways you can get popcorn, right?
Wow.
I've never had the sweet version.
Yeah, neither have I.
No? That's no. They also try it. It's amazing.
Well, I guess.
What am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do with this, though? Like, Like, that's the question, is like, is it going to stay in my room forever? Honestly, it might. It might. The chair is stayed.
At least until you get a girlfriend.
Yeah. You know what? That's my pledge to TerraCrumbs. The day that this machine leaves is the day I get a girlfriend.
So we have plenty of time.
Yeah, we have at least 7 to 10 years.
I mean, I would like to quickly just touch upon what you guys think about the abracadabra, mim use, tea looping topic now with the FUD around Wonderland and maybe also abracadabra, right? Because I received a lot of messages today from the German community that they're very concerned now that maybe it could hurt UST or it could hurt Luna, because now if they release a lot of the looping, that maybe we will burn a lot of UST, which I think is way too simplified in terms of that it will automatically happen, even if there is an unlooping of that. So I don't know if you guys have any insights or what you think, right?
Okay, all right, so I mean, to get into the Wonderland stuff from the beginning, so the drama that we're experiencing today was not how this week started. It actually started with some other Wonderland drama. And it started out, it was either Monday or Tuesday. My favorite FUD account, Freddie Reynolds, I shouldn't even shout him out here, but whatever, favorite FUD account. he posted some screenshots of some transactions that were liquidations on Abracadabra, where Daniel's memo position on Abracadabra was being liquidated, and I think it was like $15 to $20 million was liquidated there. So that's how the week started out with the Wonderland FUD. And then the next day, completely surprising everyone. So we were still kind of reeling from a "what the fuck, Danny? Why are you going to let yourself get liquidated for $15 million?" And then the next day, we learned that the CFO of Wonderland Finance, and for those who don't know what Wonderland is, it's an ohm fork. That's basically an ohm fork. It doesn't really do much else. It's not ohm forky. They do have some investments in some various protocols and stuff, but it's an ohm fork. Like, that's what it is. So we learned that the CFO of Wonderland was, what's his name?
name in front of me.
Yeah, Sifu, right. But what's his like real name? It's like Michael something.
Yeah, I checked it out earlier. He has two real names, right? Because he has this US name and then his native name because he's from India, right? I had it earlier also.
He had like three names. I thought he died twice.
He might have. Yeah, so we learned that this Michael Patron guy was the CFO of Wonderland, also known as Sifu, which was a anonymous Twitter handle. And we learned about this from some random Twitter account who had a DM conversation with Daniel Sesta, where Danny basically said, yes, this is Michael. Now, if people don't understand the controversy around this, Michael, whatever his name is, was the co-founder of Quadriga CX, which was a Canadian exchange that disappeared with all of its users' funds under very suspect circumstances. And this Michael guy was the co-founder of that exchange. And it was basically alleged that the exchange was operating as a Ponzi scheme where they were taking users' funds and, you know, putting them in their own pocket. And then they got to a point where everyone tried to withdraw and they couldn't handle withdrawals, so they went under. But there was a lot of mystery around it because the founder of the exchange, he went to India, he died of IBS, and he was cremated before anyone could, like, you know, confirm anything. And what we were told is that the guy that went to India and died from IBS, he had the private keys for the exchange and was holding all the users' funds. So this Michael guy was the co-founder of that exchange. He was also arrested and he went to jail in the U.S. for identity fraud and some other really shady shit. So definitely not the guy that you want to put in charge of the billion-dollar home fork.
Maybe.
Maybe. You know, who knows? Who knows? Yeah. Who really knows what he did, you know?
I mean, I don't know, Puppy, what you do, right, in your former life, or did. Who knows, right? You're a knight. You're a ninja, right? That's how you approach people.
I just love this. I love this tweet, though, where it like shows the messages where it's like, he's like, did you really think this was a good idea? And he's like, yeah, my partner said it wasn't that big of a deal. Like the one where it's like, do you know who Sifu is? And he's like, yeah, I knew exactly who he is. Is it a big deal? No, it's not. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that whole exchange is pretty cringe. And I think it really shows, you know, I hate to talk poorly of Danny, but it shows bad judgment. It really does. Before we got on to do this recording, I was in a Twitter space with Sifu, and he was talking about how he's the best thief. And, you know, he's basically like circle jerking himself, fucking with a bunch of, you know, friends who all think he's the greatest thing ever. My perspective from that Twitter space is in the 10 minutes I was there is this guy is a fucking narcissist and he'd rob you and say that you did something wrong. But that's my perspective. I don't think this is the guy that should be in charge of Wonderland's finances. And that's so that kind of plays into, you know, kind of how you. But what you were saying initially, Danku, is, you know, what are the potential concerns, you know, of this drama? How does this affect Terra? How does this affect Abracadabra? And specifically the concern for Luna holders is that Wonderland is holding $300 million of UST that is held in Anchor earning interest. So... From my perspective, and I've thought about this quite a bit, I think, you know, if Wonderland came out tomorrow and said, you know, we're done, we're going to close Wonderland and we're going to, you know, buy memo tokens at whatever the backed value is based on what we have in the treasury. And so that would mean that UST would get liquidated. How I think that would play out is obviously there'd probably be some short-term pain. Specifically against the UST MIM curve pool. You might even see a small MIM depegging. I don't know. I think most of the impact though will be temporary. And the reason why I think it'd be temporary is because this UST position that Wonderland holds is $50 million leveraged 6x to $300 million. So, I mean, we could easily, you know, get our VC friends to come in and potentially allocate some of that UST to reduce the overall pain to the ecosystem if it were to be this event that happened in a single day and they dump $300 million worth of UST.
Yeah, not only that, right? I'm right now in the parallel also checking on Chainlink right now what the oracles are saying in terms of price. So MIM right now is truly... under pack in terms of 0.9, let me see, 987. So a little bit more what it should be, but UST like a champ, exactly 1.0 on Ethereum, right? Which is amazing. And on the other side, which I just see it in terms of in general big picture, as you said it, right? It's a short-term movement, but if you take a look at where MIM was into, UST market cap hitting 10 billion when we also were in an all-time high, right? At around $100 Luna. And now we are, I think, almost at 1.6 billion. So all the kind of looping, which is probably around responsible for 1.6 billion UST, if we would get rid of it, we would still be at 10 billion UST, which is amazing, right? So maybe there is a little bit of pressure on Luna, but I think long-term, it's a story that will pass, as you said. And then on the other side, just because the looping is basically dissolved doesn't mean that UST needs to be burned to and then mint Luna, right? Why doesn't the market just say, I like it, I keep it, I hold it because UST is the future as decentralized stablecoin. So that's also why you don't have a direct effect. Probably. We don't know, right? We literally don't know, I think.
So, I mean, kind of talking about the Wonderland stuff and comparing it to Abracadabra, I think one important point here is that those teams are completely separate. You know, Sifu does not control Abracadabra. It's a whole different team of people who control that multi-signature. I will also add, I thought it was pretty interesting throughout all this drama. I never thought my bags would be FUDded by Larry. Of all people, man.
What did Larry do?
Larry is just FUDding Daniel and the Wonderland team. He's doing code reviews.
Dude, I love Larry. I absolutely love Larry. Met him in Portugal. Never looked back.
His He actually had some really useful information to share. He commented how the Wonderland repository looks like shit. It's a bunch of, you know, packed solidity contracts, which means there's one contract that holds multiple contracts. And then for some reason, there was a solidity compiler in the repository. It was kind of like weird stuff. And, you know, Larry also, to give perspective, he compared it to other projects. And he also looked at Abracadabra, which he said was a lot better. And it looks like, you know, a completely different team is working on that, which is true.
I mean, Prism is the big thing. We haven't talked about it at all coming next week, right? But you covered this the week before.
Yeah, but we should let people know what that event is. So, because it got delayed due to market volatility. I think it's on February 1st. So you're able to, what kind of process are they running it? Is it like an LBP or you're able to deposit some UST if you want to be involved, correct?
Yeah. So they have in the end four different phases. So phase number one is close to what you maybe call an LBP, but they call it Mango Markets, where you have just one vault, where you have 70 million of Prism. And then people for 4 days can deposit or withdraw as much UST as they want to basically have a price discovery of the Prism token. And then in the fifth day, you can only withdraw and it's declining over time. So from 100% at the first minute to 0% in the last one of the 24 hours. And you just have one transaction that you can use, right, to decide to really withdraw something because that should prevent that big whales just have a lot of money and last second they just withdraw everything to get more Prism token. And after this 5 days, the IDO is happening. That's what they call phase number two. And then everybody gets their Prism token based on their share of the pool. And then you can just buy them on the market. And a few days later, then the full app with full functionality, refracting, but also staking Prism with then X Prism and all the different liquidity pools is going live. And this is important because they say you should learn to refract, which is basically just one button, I assume, right? You bring your Luna, you click a button, then you get C Luna. So, and then the C Luna is refracted into P and Y Luna. The Y Luna is the yield part. And that one you can use in phase number four to farm Prism, right? So you put it just in the Prism farm, and then you have 130 million Prism, which are vested over 1 year. And then depending on your share every day, you get Prism token, which is exchanged for your Luna yield.
Got it. So and the first chance to get in on that is on February 1st, correct?
Yes. And there is no need to rush it because the first 4 days doesn't matter when you interact with it. You can always kind of put down UST. I guess one of the biggest points is people saying, why should I do this? There will anyway be a dump as every kind of token on Terra, but there is nobody who will hold Prism until really they are released for the first time. So there is no airdrop. So nobody has it basically and can take profits on it he would sell it on the market, right? So why would there be a price discovery for 5 days and people then dumping a token? Everybody would lose money, basically. So that's why I also don't expect, unless you guys have maybe another idea why that should happen, right? So if somebody wants to get it, probably the cheapest way, we don't know, would be to really take part in this phase number one.
Do you know what does anyone know what the tokenomics are for, like what the ultimate use case for the Prism token is? Because I think that's what everyone should be considering, correct?
Mm-hmm. So there are two use cases in terms of, on the one side, it's basically the one that enables liquidity for the whole DEX because they will have an own Prism DEX. So there will be seven pairs in the beginning. So you will be Prism against C Luna, Prism against Y Luna, Prism against P Luna, Prism against UST, Prism against AUST, Prism against Luna, and Prism against X Prism. Those are the seven pairs. I got them all. Nice.
Nicely done. That was impressive.
Yeah. And so what will happen? So basically, X Prism is the stake version of Prism, and it's accruing value for all the different transactions that are happening within the Prism app, right, in the smart contracts. And there are four different use cases for that. So, for example, if you refract your Luna and you have Y Luna and you don't stake it or do anything with it, the yield goes 100% to X Prism holders. So if there are people that speculate on price against Y Luna, all the yield is going to X Prism. I think that's a big upside. And then they have for swap fees, there is a percentage that goes to X Prism. For limit orders, there is one. And there is a fourth use case that this time I don't know on top of my head. So I think the value accrual is high the more people truly do trading and speculate on Y Luna. long term.
Yeah, I think this is kind of the biggest launch on Terra since Astroport, right? I'm trying to think of the last one that people have been this excited about.
No, I think so, that's the one.
I have to ask, Danku, from your perspective, are you more bullish on Y Luna or P Luna?
I'm zero at both because I anyway don't trade. So I will probably be the one guy who tries to arbitrage for being delta neutral on the positions. I'm just curious to see how it works from a free market perspective. The mechanics will be completely wild, seeing that the market tries to find a price for this. But I myself, I truly don't know what to expect, right? I will use Prism to just stake Y Luna to farm Prism, but I will not do anything with my P Luna on the other side. A lot of people say because it's a perpetual contract in the end, that there is just use case for Y Luna because it's creating yield and P is just sitting around. But as Jimmy says, the P Luna will have the true governance rights for the Luna Terra chain, right? So if everybody just goes long on Y Luna, somebody could get a lot of governance rights for Terra because they're scooping up all the cheap P Luna, right? So
the idea there is that because all of the yield, yeah, but wouldn't the price appreciation, if you believe in price appreciation, wouldn't that go to P Luna?
Yes.
Am I thinking about that correctly? Yeah, okay.
But also into Y Luna because the yield is paid in Luna. So you will also have the positive, you know.
It's honestly, it's quite a mind fuck to try and think about how you're going to price these assets.
It is. And you know what, mind fucks are opportunities. So it'll be a lot of fun. I think if people think all of the value should go to Y Luna, I'm going to buy up a ton of P Luna. because I feel like, because ultimately, right, like I still believe in price appreciation over yield at the moment. So especially at what prices are today. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
You haven't seen my yield.
Well, yeah, I don't have access to your bots, but if you would like to share.
Someday.
Yeah, I also would like to get some of those yield bots. You know what I understand the yield long-term on Terra, it's basically transaction volume, right? The more transaction volume we have, the more staking rewards, so the more yield is going out there. So I think that people are basically, or the Y Luna price is indicating how bullish people are on transaction long-term on Terra. So I guess
correction there, Danku. So there was actually a proposal, I don't know if it went through, there was a proposal on Agora to remove the transfer tax for UST. There is still a transaction fee, but it would be less without the tax. I would say most of the value accrual, like staking rewards, actually come from UST minting and burning.
Well, so for me, for me that's also part of the transaction, but you're right, to be more precise, kind of, I should say it that yes, so minting and burning is, for me, that's all transaction, right, that are happening on Terra as a whole, right? So, but you're right, to be more precise, that would be how to phrase it.
Well, yeah, and I just think like looking at it as more of like UST minting and burning transaction fees, like it doesn't matter how many users we have on the Terra blockchain as long as UST is being used and adopted, you know, throughout the entire DeFi ecosystem.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Danku. You know, we're going to come on Danku's channel soon, so just look out for that. Please like, subscribe, and have a great night.